In Romans chapter 11, there are two transitional books in your Bible. More than that, but I mean in the New Testament. One is the book of Acts. The book of Acts, this is Acts, to Acts chapter 28. There's Acts chapter 28. That is the book of Acts. And during the book of Acts, it's a transitional book. And during that, from Acts chapter 9, and it really was starting about 14s and stuff like that, he wrote the books of Romans. Let me do them in order. So it'll make it a little... a lot of people question whether Thessalonians was written or Galatians. It doesn't really matter. But Thessalonians, Galatians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and the book of Romans. And the book of Romans is also a transitional book into this new part of grace that has now extended for some length of time over there, in which you find the prison epistles, which are Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and the pastoral epistles, Titus, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and Philemon. Those are the books at the end. And that's how the Bible's kind of laid out. And the part that I want you to understand is there was a mystery hidden in Scripture with this. What was the mystery hidden in Scripture?
That
Christ died for our sins. The fact that Christ died for our sins was a mystery. Amen?
Amen.
But it was a mystery in the Old Testament Scriptures. Y'all with me? They didn't know the Scriptures or the mystery was in the Scriptures. And I know that because... Go to Romans 16. Let me kind of break in. Because of Romans 16, 25 and 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you know for a fact that they didn't know it. For had they known it, the Bible says they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But let me give you that in passages so you can write it down in your Bible and get it. In Romans 16, verse 25, now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel. Whose gospel?
Paul's
gospel. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the what? I mean, it was kept secret from way over here until it was revealed at least Acts chapter 9. Now, I want you to note that in your Bible, it is not apparent that it's ever mentioned until Acts chapter 13. Y'all understand? So you've got two groups of people. People say the church started in the body of Christ. I believe that. But it is for sure that the gospel, you can't see it until Acts chapter 13. So there's a lot of grace believers that believe the church started in Acts 13. That doesn't even bother me. Does it bother you?
No.
Is that enough to get... Come on, put up your dukes. Come on. Come on, put up your dukes. And then we're fighting over. You know, I'm okay with someone said, hey, Acts 13, Paul, I believe, was in the body first. And I believe that happened on the road to Damascus. Okay, I believe that. But whether he preached it and got anybody else in there, it is not evident until Acts chapter 13, verse 38 and 39. Y'all understand? It is not evident in your King James Bible if you believe your Bible. So there's, people that are, constantly trying to divide up, and they're rightly dividing. And some of us are not at all going to agree. You know what? God didn't call us to agree. You know what God called us to do? Study. Study. Figure it out. Put some time in. Get your faith solid. You know, I'm not always right. The book is 100% right.
Amen.
You just got to believe the book. You with me? That's your job. Now, he says, since the world began, look in 1 Corinthians 2. And look, if you will, in verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. And again, we've been talking about different levels of faith. Y'all understand that a little bit? We all come here at a different level. There is none of us are exactly the same level. I'm way down. If you wanted someone with strong faith, you'd get Mrs. Newton up here. She's amazing. She's one of my mentors. We had her here New Year's Eve, and her and Lee Otis Gaines, and they gave their testimony. And you want some godly women. You women want to follow someone that's godly? Follow those two, man. They're fantastic. I mean, honestly, Missy, you want an example in your life? That woman back there. She'll blow your mind. And I appreciate her in the Lord. I appreciate what she does with our ministry. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, watch in verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, talking about the Jews, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a what? You know what I'm going to put there in my Bible? I'm going to take out my little handy-dandy Bible pen and I'm going to write Romans 16, verse 25. Doesn't it feel good to know that? You feel so bright and brilliant. It's great. Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, the mystery of what? Verse 7. You see that? The it is the mystery of verse 7. For had they known it, the mystery, they would not have crucified the what?
Lord of glory.
So God kept it a mystery back here in the Old Testament until it was revealed to and through the Apostle Paul. Well, no wonder people are all confused. How many here has ever gone to a Baptist church just in the last few years? Amen. What do they teach out of?
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
And that doesn't have anything to do with the church, the body of Christ. So the doctrine is confused to them. I mean, it would be confusing. You sit there time and time again, you're going to get confused. Why? That is not the doctrine for you. The doctrine for you is in the church, the body of Christ, and you got to find body truth, and that body truth is found in the books of what?
Romans 2, Philemon.
Now, so God had a mystery. What was the mystery? That Christ died for our sins. Now, that's very important because Peter knew that he had died, right? He knew that he had been buried, right? He knew that he had ascended up. Is that the gospel?
No.
That is the death, burial, and resurrection, and that's what 99.9% of the people believe in. But that is not the gospel that can save you. Are you listening to me? That is not, listen to me very careful. Just because you know Jesus Christ died, just because you know He was buried, and just because you know He rose again, does not mean you're saved. Why? That isn't the gospel. The gospel is that when Jesus Christ did die, He died for all of your sins. How many?
All
of them. You know how many people are carrying a load of guilt? There's a contemporary song I'd love to learn. It talks about walking along the trail, picking up pebbles, putting on the back. And you know, that's what people are doing with their sins. And they're loaded down and they're wondering why. And the church is telling them, hey, you know what you've got to do to get rid of your sins? Come on down to the altar and sling some snot and come down to an old-fashioned altar and confess up through it, when the fact is, it's been paid for. When you finally hear that message of being paid for, man, all of a sudden you ought to be going, hallelujah. People stuck in the bondage of, I hate to say it, do religion. You got to do this. You got to do that. Well, this religion doesn't have anything to do with that. This is a religion that's all been done. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain and He washed it white as snow. But that was hidden Scripture. They didn't know it. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. You know, I know, look in Luke 24. Look in Luke 24 a minute. They just didn't get it. Luke 24. Luke 24. Look, if you will, in verse 13. Oh, man, they got it. You know, people are so full of baloney. You will not be full of baloney today. You got, like, good food back there. But some people are full of baloney.
Staying.
Wow.
He loves fried bologna sandwiches.
Wow. Look at this, verse 13. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem 70 furlongs, And they walked together all these things, and they talked together of all these things that had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And by the way, that verse to me proves that he could hold it in Scripture without letting people see it too. There's Jesus walking right beside them. They don't even know him. And you say, well, how did Jesus do that? Here's a hint. He's God.
Amen.
Thank you, Wayne. I hate begging. Hey, come on. He's God. He just, they're walking there. They don't know. And you know what? If you knew that Jesus Christ died for your sins and you're walking from the grave and you saw that he wasn't there anymore, how would you be reacting?
Hallelujah.
You'd be going like this. I mean, you'd be happy thinking, man, my sins are gone. My sins have been paid for. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Well, look at this. And he said unto them, verse 17, what manner of communication are these that you have one with another as you walk and are sad? Did they know that Jesus Christ had died for their sins?
No.
Would they be walking off away from the garden there and be sad if they knew the gospel? Do you think Paul, when he heard that gospel, was sad?
No.
I bet when Paul heard that gospel, he probably shouted, Hallelujah! Thank you, Larry.
Because he was a blasphemer, and that's unforgivable.
Well, amen! When he found out his sins were gone, you know, people go around, well, how are you today? I love Brother Moore. Tony and them were down at the beach. What a bummer. They wanted me, I saw Brother Moore the other day. I said, how are you doing, Brother Moore? And he says, terrible. You know how long he's been telling me that? Forever I've known him. But you know what? I'm not terrible. People call me the trigger of the grace movement. You know why? I'm excited about my sins being gone. I mean, I had some sins that were whoopals, you know. I mean, they were like the zinger sins you got, you know. I mean, I'm not like your average sinner. When I find something I like, I'll go diving in hand and foot. You know? That's how I am. You know how I know I'm an alcoholic? I boozed. I didn't just sip a little glass of wine. But I loaded it up until I was sloshing drunk. When it came to eating, I don't know when to say no. That's how come I needed a Savior. I'm pitiful. Some of you guys don't have any problem with that, but I did. You know what? I could lie without even trying to lie. I'd walk away sometimes. I'm not kidding. I'd walk away and I'd say, why did I tell them that? That wasn't true. It does come natural. I look in the mirror. I'm not kidding. I comb my hair and I'm like, wow. I'm bad. I had zinger sins. I wouldn't be walking away from that grave sad if I knew the gospel. Peter didn't get it. And you know what? Peter doesn't ask when his sin's going to... Look in Acts chapter 1. He wants to know when that kingdom's going to be established. I mean, I never got taught this stuff in Sunday school, did you? In Acts chapter 1. Last question you get to ask the Lord. You say, Lord, really, are all my sins forgiven? You know, I'd be asking questions like that, wouldn't you? That's not what Peter asked. You know what Peter asked? Look in verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, everybody with me, will thou at this time restore the kingdom? Isn't that a little bit of an odd question? If you knew that Christ had died for all your sins, and why would you make a statement like this? if this is the case. Go to Acts chapter 3. Verse 19. Watch this. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted. Why would you say something like that if you believe that Christ had died for all of your sins? I mean, they acted like, how many have been in a church that they thought the church started in Acts chapter 2? Everybody here just about. How could that be possible if Peter in Acts chapter 3 doesn't even know if your sins are blotted out? Say amen. Hello? You all understand? Peter is preaching what he believes in his heart. If he'd have believed the gospel and the church started in Acts chapter 2, and Acts chapter 3, 19 would have read like this. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins are blotted out. You see, that's how it would have read, and it would have ended there. Then he goes, when? When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You know, that's the second coming. There is no way you could get body truth out of Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7. Don't you understand? And he had all the scriptures. What? He didn't get reading. He wasn't shown the mystery that Paul got shown. What was the mystery that Paul got shown? That Christ had died for all of our sins. How many?
All.
Did Peter believe that?
No.
What did Peter believe? Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins
may be.
There are two different statements. So why are churches acting like it's all the same?
Because it's a mystery.
That's good. That's true. It's amazing, guys. If you really just take them simple phrases and place them in the right position, all of a sudden the doctors go, well, I had never seen that before. How many saw that before they came to a Grace Church?
No.
Not one of you. Isn't that weird? You know how many people in those churches still haven't seen it?
A lot.
And you know what breaks my heart? That. Paul was shown a mystery. The first mystery was according to what?
Scripture.
Now, hold on. Go to Ephesians. Paul was revealed another mystery. Look in Ephesians. I'm getting hungry. I had a pretty good breakfast, too. I'm still a little hungry. How many ready for some food afterwards? I think we ought to do this every Sunday, don't you? I think we ought to get the Millers to move here and eat every Sunday. How many's for that? Say amen.
Amen.
That's good. All right. It's a lot of fun. Now, you got to say, out of all the churches you've ever been to, this has been one of your best, isn't it?
Amen.
It's a lot more fun than most churches.
Amen.
Anybody got a question?
Better than a poker
eye. Yeah, that's for sure. Ephesians chapter 3. Now, watch this. I'm having to take on the religious system with half my brain tied behind my back. I just want you to know that to make it fair. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 3. How that by revelation he hath made known unto me the mystery. Now, we'd already talked about one mystery. What was that first mystery? Where was that hid? In scriptures. This one is not, though. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, what Gentiles? You in this room, guys. You Gentiles.
Those outside the covenant. Right.
And of the same body, and were made partakers of his promise in Christ. How? By the gospel. Whereof I made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual workings of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. Now watch. Here it is. You're going to get your Bible pen out. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know what the unsearchable riches of Christ is? This is the unsearchable riches of Christ. He could not go beyond what He had already promised in Scriptures by reaching down through Scriptures. There was not one single Scripture, listen to me very, very carefully, not one from Genesis all the way through Acts chapter 7, that God would have any means or any ability to reach down to you and save you. Do you realize that? Amen. He could only save the Gentiles that would what?
Bless the Jews.
That's the only Gentiles He could save. The other ones, according to the Bible, were under a
curse.
You got it? But God did something phenomenal. He opened up a portal that wasn't through promise. It was through grace.
Amen.
Who said that? Amen. That's right. That is a hallelujah. Do you realize that God reached down and took away all works, all promise, everything that could possibly be? And we sing that song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Come on, guys. It is true. God couldn't reach down beyond any means other than the grace to save Barry Hampton. I had never blessed a Jew. I had never been friend of a Jew. I've never fed a Jew. I've never housed a Jew. And now Jews are low am I. They're not even God's people. You can't even do it. So the only means that He could have to possibly save you would be reaching down through the portal of grace. And that's what makes grace amazing. People just don't get it. They go to church. There's a new Christian song. I need the music for you. You may want to write this down. Matthew West, called Going Through the Motion. I played it about 10 times before I went down there. It's a contemporary song, kind of fluffy. But you know what? That's what most Christians are doing. They're just going through the motions. They ain't got it. And he's sick and tired. This singer is sick and tired of going through the motion. And he doesn't care whether God has to break him or whatever. He wants to feel God in his life. And you know why, God, they don't feel God in his life? Because they don't know anything about the mystery. When I see that song going through the it's called Motions. Man, let me tell you what, it just breaks my heart. Because this morning, churches are filled with people just going through the motion. You know why people go to church? They think that's what you're supposed to do. I don't come to church because I come to church to get fed. Elaine, I tell you what, I've known her. We grew up together. We were like in the baby pen together or something. Long time. She comes on Wednesday night and she thrills my heart. And it's not because she comes that she thrills my heart. She comes because she really wants to know the Word of God. That's not going for just the motion. It's not just showing up because you got to show up. Or giving because you got to give. And there's a line in that song that says, what happened if I'd have given it all? What happened if He just gave it all? Just one time for you. Everything you had for Him. It is all His. Just turn it up a notch. Don't just do it because you got to do it. Get in because there's something there that's worth having. You know what the Bible says in Proverbs? Buy the truth and sell it not. Talking about a great verse? That's a great verse. Verse 8 again. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. My salvation is in that unsearchable riches. You know what it means by unsearchable? Can't go back in the Old Testament and find it. You don't understand it's not there? There would be no hope for you outside of the kindness and grace of God. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Well, let's go to Ephesians 1. There's two groups of Ephesians. And people don't get this, but if you ever get this, if you could ever grasp this in your mind, it will be the greatest truth you'll ever get in your entire life. See, there are those that are the we's. There are these over here. And then there are the these. The we's and the ye's. And listen to the words here. I want you to listen to the pronoun usage here. Now watch this. I want to start in verse 12. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. This is good stuff. It's going to round out your meal. This is better than a poke in the eye, as Larry would say. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. You got that? What happened in Acts chapter 18? Paul goes where? To Ephesus. He's told that he's got to go back to keep the feast in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 19, he comes back to where? Ephesus. And he spends 3 months preaching in the synagogue. And then he removes those people out because there's a big dissimulation about that. They're all upset. So he pulls them out and he starts teaching. And eventually, all of Asia hears the word, the Bible says. And there are those that blessed Israel and heard the gospel and got saved. They were Gentiles, y'all understand? But they had what? Blessed Israel. You got it? That's what they did. And so God kind of owed them a promise, didn't He? Now watch. Verse 13. In whom you also trusted. Who's the ye? These are these outside of the covenant. That's you in this room. You're the ye's. You can put out there me if you want in your Bible. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You got the ye's and the we's now? Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Come down a little bit. And you, who's the ye's? That's the ye's of verse 13 there. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air. By the way, who's the prince and the power of the air?
Satan.
Yeah, you might want to put 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, where he talks about the prince and the power of the air. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 8 in your Bible. Kind of fun mark in your Bible. Amen? The Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedient, among whom also we all had our conversation. Who's that? Both groups. Everybody had our conversation in time past. How? In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. What group was the children of wrath? Both. Y'all understand? Both groups. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherein He loved us. Who's the us? Both groups, right? The we's and the ye's. Amen? Even when we were dead in sins, hath He quickened us together with Christ. By grace, ye are saved. Why didn't He say by grace, we're all saved? These were saved by a promise God made. These people were saved by grace. There was no promise in the Scripture. Were there Old Testament promises for Gentiles that feared God?
Yes.
There was a promise. But you know what? When it comes to you, by grace, ye are saved. Man, listen, let me tell you what. You don't hear that until Ephesians. By grace, ye are saved. I mean, that's powerful, guys. I mean, outside, you have to find a Jew to bless them? No. You have to be inside a covenant? No. You can be any drunk, any whore, any... Ready for this? Even a homosexual can get saved.
Amen.
Is that wild? Yeah. You know how many sins are gone?
Oh.
That homosexual sin's gone?
Oh. Yes.
The drug abuse?
Yes.
Oh. Now here's a hard one. How about a pedophile?
Oh.
It's either all or none. You can't have it both ways. You can't say it's by grace, okay, and turn around and force them to be under the law. Romans 11 deals with that a little bit. You understand? It's either that he's paid it all and Katie barred the door, or he didn't pay it all and you're locked out because of your sins. You can't have grace both ways. Say, well, you're just teaching grace just as loose as you can teach it. All I can tell you is Paul tells you to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Say, well, I'd just go out and sin if I believe what you believe. Baloney, you're already sinning because you want to sin.
That's right.
Amen? Amen? Unsearchable. Go back to Romans chapter 11. Yes, Carlton.
Before you leave there.
Yes.
Two references to the word quicken. He quickened and then he quit later on and quickened.
It's made alive. And I don't have the reference on it, but you can also find it in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Would be a good reference to write there. I mean, there's one place that's translated the Greek into made alive. That's what it means. So, where did I tell you to go? Romans 11. Now watch this. Now remember I told you Romans was a transitional book, right? It is going from this into here. What's the best book to find the gospel in? Romans is pretty clear, isn't it? 1 Corinthians, pretty clear. Why? Hey, he's explaining the gospel that whole time. But you know what? You would have never known that gospel was preached to you had we not had this conversation right here. You know, that's why he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works. You don't have to do anything. So when you sing the song, Jesus paid it all, tears should run down from your face. It should. It shouldn't be any question. You know, we're always trying to look for catchy songs. Just simple songs of truth like that ought to stir your heart. I'll never forget, I was in Fort Walton Beach 24 years ago. I had just gotten saved. It was August 24th was my salvation. This was like in September, my very first Bible conference. Brother Moore had 600 men in that room, and they were singing Amazing Grace, and overwhelmed me. I hear those men sing those words. And I realized what a puny nothingness of people I was. And that God's love reached out to me and took me in knowing what I was. And those 600 men sung that song and I just sat. I couldn't even say the words. Just listen to them sing. Grace is powerful. See, the problem is that people really don't come to the level of grace. They're always working on a treadmill. When do you know when you get there? I can't figure out them treadmills. You know, you get on them, you keep walking, and you end up in the exact same place you started. And that's what people are doing in churches. See, they're going through the motions. But they have never seized grace. And grace has never overwhelmed them. You know what? I loved Norm Niemann, if I tell you his story just a little bit. He'll may tell you after at the dinner, but Norm came up and he was kind of hem-hawing around, said, hey, listen to this. And I didn't realize he had just gotten saved. He thought he'd been saved how long? 35 years, he said? And he said, I was preaching a thing on rightly dividing and he got it. Light came on. And I realized he was giving me his testimony. And all night, that night, I went home and I thought, isn't that great? The grace of God still works. It still works today. People still get saved, Max. Huh? Been 4 or 5 years out getting saved. You know, 10 years for you or something like that, 8, something like that. People still getting saved. Do you realize today you could make eternal life yours? And all you have to do, really, all you have to do, and this is the hardest part, just no need to let go of all that you've hung on to. Time to just let go. Just let go. If what Jesus Christ did on that cross is not enough for you, if that's not enough, there's nothing you're going to add that's more sufficient than that. Isn't that amazing? So listen as we, I'm going to wrap up in this verse, and I just want you to listen to this. Romans chapter 11, verse 6. I'm just going to read down a couple of passages and skip some and read a few more, but listen to this. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. What does that tell me? At one time it was of works, wasn't it? Otherwise, grace is no more grace, but if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Verse 11, I say then, have they stumbled? It's talking about Israel. That they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the richness of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? He's talking about in the kingdom. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. Come on down. And he goes, verse 25, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That's you here in this room. And so all Israel shall be saved. I would put Acts chapter 3, verse 19 right there if I was you. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. I would put Zechariah 13, verse 1 in my Bible right there. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. You know what? God's already taken your sins away.
Amen.
And then he comes on down, and this is where it is. Verse 32. But God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. That's how he could open up the portals of grace, guys. Counted them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon how many?
All.
Including the homosexual, the pedophile, the drug abuser, all of them. Even the filthy, rotten man that this preacher is. Of the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. You know what? He stored up because he could not hide this in Scripture. You know where he said it? According to Ephesians, he hid it in God. And at the right time and at the right place, there's I forgot the guy's name now, but the song goes, grace falls down on me like rain. He literally opened the portal of grace to let it rip. And he said, whosoever shall call upon my name, my son, you call upon me, I'll save. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to, you don't have to join a church. You literally can sit right where you are and trust Christ.
Amen.
And know that you have eternal life. Wow. Could you sit down with someone who had just the gospel of God and talk to them about those great things?
Amen.
That's exactly what it's all about. And that's what Aquila and Priscilla did with Apollos. They taught the Word of God what? More perfectly. That's what that was all about this morning. See, guys, wherever you are in your faith, you can stop and say, stop. I'll never forget the argument with inside of me. I was sitting in Brother Moore, and I'm like, why am I resisting? There, I knew I was resisting. Has anybody ever felt that other than me? I mean, I sat there and knew I was resisting the truth. And they opposed themselves. That's what Timothy says. I mean, there I was, and brother, and you know, finally in my mind, I said, stop it, Barry. You know, you need to listen and believe the Bible no matter how you feel about it. That first Wednesday night, he preached a great sermon. I wanted to jump out of my skin and jump up and say, I'm trusting him. But, you know, pride kept me from doing it. I was like a little angel and a little devil. And I got them confused. I didn't know who was who. One was saying, don't jump up. Everybody thinks you're already a Christian. The other one says, you're lost. Why don't you just admit it? The other one says, hey, don't listen to him. Even if you get saved, nobody needs to know about it. I'm telling you, that argument went in my mind. And I went home lost that night. That next Wednesday night, it got to me. I'd heard the cross preached the first time. I mean, I heard it. And I knew that if I didn't trust the Lord that day, I would go to hell. But I couldn't jump up out of my seat. So I went to bed. I drove home lost, scared to death at the rapture. I wasn't afraid about dying. I believed the rapture might come while I was asleep, and I did not sleep at all that night. And at 10 o'clock in the morning, I got up, and I started praying to the Lord. And I was saying, Lord, if you'll save me, I'll do this if you'll save me. Kind of making deals with God. You ever done that? And I was making deals for 2 hours. And finally, at the end of that 2-hour prayer, I just stopped. And this is what happened. I said, Lord, the problem with me is I am lost. And if what you did at the cross is not, I'm never going to measure up. So what if you did at the cross is not enough for me. I'm just going to hell. I'm trusting you right now for my salvation. But as soon as I did, it was as if the load was lit. The light came on. And I'm like, oh my goodness. That's it. You just have to relax. I had been struggling with my salvation for months. Brother Moore looked over those glasses and he'd point those fingers and that finger would point right in my heart and my heart would melt inside of me. But that next Sunday, when it came around, did we have any testimonies? I stood up and I said, we got one. I don't know about anyone else, but last Wednesday night got to me. And that Thursday morning, the 24th of August, 1983, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Greatest day of my life. You know what it was? It was pride keeping me. It was pride. That's all it was. I was being kept by pride. People thought I was a Christian. I was starting to learn rightly dividing. It isn't about learning rightly dividing or anything. It's about having a Savior. Amen. Boy, that happened, and boy, I mean, just it was amazing, guys. And so when I talk about the grace of God, I get wildly emotional. It was the greatest thing ever happened in my life, ever. I had been nothing in my life. I was telling Brenda on the way down, you know, I am crazy about my wife. I'm telling you, she is an amazing woman. She is. She's just incredible. And we've been to some amazing places, California, Mexico, Canada, Hawaii. I mean, we've been places that most people have only dreamed of. And none of it compares. That moment in that bathroom in that garage apartment in Pensacola, Florida. Nothing. Nothing I have done or said or seen or touched or felt or could even come into comparison to what happened in that bathroom in 1983.